Hello, and welcome to this podcast from Consider This. Please let me know what you think and tell others about us on social media. This podcast was originally broadcast live on Northumberland 89.7 FM. You can hear this show live every Friday at noon. Thank you for downloading this program, and I hope you enjoy it. Hello, I'm Robert Washburn, and welcome to Consider This Northumberland, a current affairs program dedicated to the issues facing our community. We talk to the people on the front lines and those behind the scenes who make a difference in your life in Northumberland County. So I'm asking you, the listener, to take some time out of your busy day to consider this. Pride Month is in full swing. Following a major event in downtown Cobourg with a parade, music, booths, and a sidewalk sale, Northumberland County is bursting at the seams with local Pride events. On today's show, two organizations are featured. First, you will hear from the Port Hope Rainbow Network. You will learn about the work this group does in the community during Pride Month. But it aspires to do more. It hopes to become a hub for information for the LGBTQ2 community in the county. Plus, it runs a number of programs connecting people, including allies, in promoting acceptance and understanding for all ages. I'm so pleased to have with me today John Dorian, one of the coordinators of the Port Hope Rainbow Network. Welcome to Consider This Northumberland.
Thank you.
Can you tell us about the Rainbow Network? What is it?
Well, the Rainbow Network came out of the more recent event when we tried to have a crosswalk, rainbow crosswalk installed in Port Hope. And some of the community got together here and felt that there had to be a better way for everyone to communicate with each other and exchange ideas and meet other people and find out who else was similar as us in our community. And also to provide and share network and information. And a group got together and which evolved into a steering committee. And we came up with our name, our logo, and some ideas about things that we'd like to do.
So when was this? How long ago?
That would have been in September of 2022.
Now, when you started, who was involved in forming it?
So the very initial first meeting we had, myself and my co-coordinator, Jenna, and two other women. And that was the first small group of people that met.
Now, how did it evolve from that small group and the initiative around the crosswalk into organizing events for Pride Month?
Sure. I should mention that Jenna had already established a youth group in Port Hope. And so she was somewhat kind of active in the area of creating a safe, positive space for queer youth. And we decided, among other things, to strike a Facebook group. And that grew again out of the crosswalk event. And that went from about 100 people to today, which is close to 300 people. And as word spreads about the existence of this organization, we have had people come to join the group through Facebook. People are less so involved, motivating to get hands-on with things, which is fun. But we've had a few more people join the steering committee. And of course, we've registered as a not-for-profit, so we have directors as well. And that's how it grew. And then the ideas kind of started to flow from there.
There's a number of events that are being organized through the Port Hope Rainbow Network. I know that some things happened already over the weekend. Can you tell us what happened over this past weekend that you were involved with, the group was involved with?
Yeah. So we had planned, and this planning process began months and months and months ago, to make the raising of the rainbow flag on June 1st, which happens in many parts of Canada and the world, a little bit more than simply a perfunctory thing that the town does and put the flag up and there it is. So we decided to add a little bit of substance to the event, which we did this year, and we had a very nice turnout. I would guess about 50 people came for that event. For a town this size, that's a very good positive number. And we had the mayor there, the council people. We had a kind of a get together afterwards outside on the front lawn at the town hall. And then we hopped in our vehicles and drove down to Cobourg to participate at the invitation of Northumberland Pride, who was involved in a big Pride event in downtown Cobourg. And we had our banner out. We met some more new Port Hope people at the parade who joined our banner. And we marched in a parade down through the main street in Cobourg in celebration of the start of Pride Month. And those are the two things that we've had going so far.
Have you ever seen this level of interest or this level of participation as compared to previous Pride months?
Well, you know, I have to say, it's pretty overwhelming the amount and the number of events happening in Northumberland County this year. Yeah. Maybe it was there before. Maybe I wasn't as aware as I was this year, because we have Port Hope and the things that the Rainbow Network is going to be doing in Port Hope, but we have events in Cobourg. Northumberland Pride has gotten another event this coming weekend for the youth. Trent Hills has a huge array of programs they're doing. There's a new group formed in Colburn. There's a group formed in Brighton. You can't possibly go to all these events in celebration of Pride and the queer community in Northumberland. It's really quite something.
How does it make you feel?
Well, first of all, my feeling is in the whole name of our group, the network. We've got a platform now where we can all talk to one another. We can share each other's happiness and excitement and our frustrations and challenges, as well as plugging us into the mainstream community as well. And while we sometimes may appear to some people as being separate, the whole goal of the network is to facilitate a doorway into being together.
What other events are taking place with Port Hope?
So we're having a Pride in the Community on June the 16th at Memorial Park. That's going to be kicked off with a couple of face-to-face discussion groups to talk about things like the library being a bastion of the last unchallenged spot of free speech and free thought. We're also going to have a guest speaker talking about the rise in anti-gay animus through challenges with sexual education programs, with drag story time and other demonstrations of sort of types, a little bit here in Northumberland, but also across the country. We're having an interfaith service at 11, then we're having a family-oriented drag show production all afternoon. We have face painting with professional makeup work being done. We're going to hold, I believe we're tight now with the drag story time, plus we've got about another 15 or 20 local organizations or businesses that will be having pop-up tents there for information purposes, selling items and so on, and just a nice, comfortable space. And we have the center area cleared out so that people can bring a lawn chair or a blanket and sit and enjoy the show or just wander around, enjoy the beautiful park in a beautiful town.
What does it take to organize these events?
Yeah, that's one of the problems with an organization that grows and grows fast. Sometimes the too much work falls on too few people. And we started to expand our organizational base. We started with a steering committee of four. We now have eight or nine, I think it is, plus our directors, which directors basically oversee and ensure that the things that are being undertaken are consistent with our mission statement, which can be found on our website. And next event I mentioned was June 16th. That's kind of baked in, and a separate group within our group is organizing the production number. The United Church is managing the faith service. And then, of course, anybody who's got pop-up tents with community service messaging or artists, that was somewhat connected through, some parts of that were connected through different people. We're a very fluid organization. We're not trying to impose a whole lot of structure on things. We're trying to keep it as organic as we can, to keep it open and accessible to people. We're going to be putting out a call for people to participate in the Canada Day parade. We're approved to have a float in that parade. We'd like to have walkers and giveaways for the young folks along the way, and to decorate our truck. And then we'll be also doing an information booth that runs Salmon Run. And then we'll be doing a replaying in November on Remembrance Day. So the Remembrance Day replaying ceremony is actually, for me anyway, a very important thing, because there were tens of thousands of Canadians who gave their lives, and when they died in silence about their sexual orientation. And those people need to be remembered too, that they died to fight for freedom in a country where they actually couldn't be who they were themselves. So it's kind of a special thing, and we'd like to.
You've given us a great list of all the activities that you have both this month and coming up. I'm curious, though, beyond these events that you do, are there other activities that you participate in? You mentioned earlier about a youth group, and I was just wondering if you could tell us maybe a bit more about that, and then maybe some of the other things that you do within the community beyond just organizing these high-profile events.
Sure. Well, I think the key to see a lot of that is, excuse me, is the name of our group, which is Network. So as well as providing information about things that are happening in our community, whether it's a job posting by the municipality or a market that's going to be occurring in Garden Hill, we're happy to post all that information so that there's a common source to go for information. Plus, things that are happening in our adjacent communities, the adjacent counties. So there's Quinte Pride, Belleville Pride, Peterborough Pride, Durham Pride. So all of these events are all going on. It's very hard for an individual to find an information source because we don't have newspapers. We don't have radio. Well, there's some radio here, but it's all very limited. And it's a very simple one-stop shopping place. We also post on there contemporary issues of concern that you know, people tend to get comfortable when seemingly life is very easy and comfortable. And Port Hope's a reasonably comfortable place to live for a gay, lesbian, trans person. And there are challenges all around us, and there's events in the news. We share information about positions of our political people on issues of interest or importance to the community. We state positions from our particular constituency to perhaps the mayor's office on an issue. We look for partnerships and supports. The new countywide Diverse Peoples Coalition that's formed up. And we get into and talk about issues such as homelessness and the unsheltered and the issues of substance abuse. We participate in discussion about the Youth Hub and the what's going to be there that is of particular interest to our community, such as support for adolescent kids who are wrestling with typical adolescent questions, as well as issues perhaps around sexual identity, issues around potentially bullying. How well is the Youth Hub going to be there for those young people? And also, too, we just want our endeavor to create a comfortable place where just not young people and middle-aged people, but also a lot of seniors in Port Hope who are gay or lesbian, know that they have a soft landing place to enjoy, you know, the rest of their lives when they come here to retire. So those are some of the things we do.
Let's explore some of those things that you've just mentioned. So first off, how would you describe the community response to this year's Pride Month?
It's always a little tricky trying to measure public response to anything that we do. I would say from my experience, there's basically two very compelling streams. When I say we have 300 members in our Facebook group, those aren't all people who are gay or lesbian, trans, what have you. There are allies in there. And I believe that essentially Port Hope is a good and welcoming place. I moved here. I chose Port Hope as a place to live. And yes, when you introduce new ideas, there's challenges and differences of opinion. And that takes education and exposure and talk. But we've gone down a pretty good path. We had, for example, challenges over the crosswalk. But what at the end of the day, where did we end up? We ended up with a beautiful installation mandated by our council unanimously, and one that is going to last for years the way it was put together and where it's placed. I also know from social media that there's some who are not as welcoming to these kinds of events that we do and so on. And I won't spend a lot of time talking about them because, quite frankly, I don't think a lot of them are worth my oxygen to talk about.
Well, this is a growing trend, this acceptance and support for these kinds of things. There are still undercurrents, and I draw your attention to Brighton's Rainbow Sidewalk, which has been defaced multiple times, Campbellford's Rainbow Bench, which was damaged a few years ago. Mm-hmm. And as you mentioned, you continue to see posts in social media with anti-gay messaging. How does the community response measure up then in the face of all these undercurrents that seem to exist?
You know, I think you raise a very good point. Because one of the messages that comes out more negative, that comes out from the negative perspective on our event, is just, you know, you don't have to do any of this stuff. We treat everybody the same. And when we hear about those things that you reference, it's total validation of why we need to have a moment where we remind the larger community that this smaller community exists and that there are those who would target it to eliminate it.
One area that is sensitive is gender affirmation within schools. And we know that the local school boards face a growing movement of parents who are against school efforts to support gender affirmation. What are young people saying to you about what it's like to live in Port Hope?
Well, actually, you brought up kind of an interesting, issue. When the very first time we had a booth, we actually had a young person come to us. Because, you know, we had our typical regalia with the banners and all that stuff, flags. And the young person came up to one of our group and said, I was wondering if I could speak to you. And of course, we said, of course. And the issue was that this person believed they were going to go there. They had a sexual identity issue that they were trying to sort out. And their issue was they couldn't talk to their parents. I gather the parents weren't welcome to this discussion at all. The schools aren't equipped, and there's no mental health facility in Port Holt. And they wanted to know where they could go to get help. And it posed a very interesting challenge for us, because certainly we're not qualified in that depth to be able to do more than direct them someplace. And it just shows that sometimes our constituency gets forgotten in the conversation when it comes to services, and the services are needed here. We also had, when we were dealing with the Rainbow Crosswalk, an interesting comment on our Facebook page from a young man who was actually raised in Port Hope, born in Port Hope, raised in Port Hope, and left Port Hope. And his comment about the need for symbols and signs that are welcoming went along the following lines. He said he never experienced any kind of discrimination in Port Hope because he was gay. He just didn't feel that he belonged there. And it wasn't until, and he thought that whatever was going on with him was his problem. And he didn't realize until he left Port Hope that he could be the same person he is in terms of his sexual identity, and still be a policeman, a fireman, a lawyer, a grocery clerk, a factory worker. And they exist, and they exist everywhere in abundance. But he didn't see anything in Port Hope that even vaguely recognized that there was anyone else other than himself. And it's always been my vision that wouldn't it be terrific if he was to leave Port Hope, it wouldn't be for that reason. People leave for lots of reasons, but certainly, hopefully not that one. And I think overall we've received a very good response from the community in that respect.
You alluded to it earlier, but I'd like to come back to it now, and that is the new youth hub. How significant is that to your efforts?
Well, I think it is an absolutely terrific idea. And I know our mayor had a shoulder to the wheel to push that one through. And I the youth hub concept is an excellent concept. And there's a lot that has to go into it, huge amounts of work to get it approved, then to get it implemented. And I would like to know that the youth group that we have is given a full voice in providing services there. This isn't just another recreation space for teenagers, that this is kind of a full service place where kids in need can find the resources to help them.
You've mentioned multiple times about the fact that you're a network. And in talking to others across Northumberland, how safe is it for our gay people?
I guess you have to define what you mean by safe. am I afraid of going into a bar someplace with my boyfriend and being cozy? Well, I'm not particularly, but then I'm not. I guess I'm a little bit more out there than others. There are, it's the larger social atmosphere of what it means to be a gay person, I guess, when it comes right down to the micro level, that the greater challenges happen in people's social relationships. One of the biggest creators of homeless youth are youth that are told to leave home when they come out to their parents. And I know our schools all present the pride flag during June. There's, I suspect, programs within the schools, particularly the high school level, to talk about bullying and respect and those kinds of things. And, you know, it's kind of the atmosphere of, you know, to, you know, get past the sexual orientation piece and just get on with what the person is inside that you have to look at.
None of this happens for free. How do you raise money, and how much do you need to raise to keep your organization going throughout the year?
Well, we'll exist with nothing. I mean, that's how we started. I must say, through the community grant program, we've received funding from the municipality of Port Hope. Not as much as we wanted, but nevertheless, it was there. We received about an equal amount from CAMCO, a very generous employer in town here. And then we've also received some donations from local businesses. And recognizing local businesses, particularly small businesses, have had a hard go of it. They've gone just going through COVID, and now we're digging up Main Street. You know, my heart goes out to those business people. So a little bit, you know, $10 here, $20 there, $50 here, $100 there. And we simply function within our means. We get donations, and that's we'll just function within what we have to work with.
Which is how much?
Well, I would say this year we're probably going to spend between $3,000 and $4,000. That's a guess.
For anybody that's interested in coming out and participating in the upcoming events, how do they participate?
What is important for us is to, and this is incredibly important, allies to come out and interact with our community as a group and realize that we're just people like everybody else. And we know how to put on a good time, make people feel welcome.
John Dorian, I want to thank you so much for talking to me today.
Well, it's my pleasure. And June the 16th, 12 o'clock, Memorial Park. Come out and have some fun. Have a nice day in the park.
That was John Dorian, co-coordinator of the Port Hope Rainbow Network. I want to thank my guests this week for talking to me, and I want to thank all the listeners for tuning in today. Please join me again next week when we will talk to the people on the front lines and those behind the scenes who make a difference in your life and Northumberland County. So please tune in. If you would like to listen or share this or any podcast, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. There you will find past podcasts, news, and other information about life and politics in Northumberland County. Or you can go to the radio station's website at northumberland897.ca. I'm Robert Washburn. Thanks for taking time out of your day to listen in, and I hope over the week you will continue to consider this. Thank you for listening to this podcast from Consider This. If you have any comments or would like to suggest a story, please contact me at considerthisnorthumberland@gmail.com, or you can message me on Facebook at Consider This. If you enjoyed this podcast or are looking for more news and information about Northumberland County, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. That's consider-this.ca. And don't forget to share. And again, thank you for listening, and stay tuned for more from Consider This.